last word on the general election 2024.
I'm Ben Finnegan and this is day 19. Where has the time gone? On today's roundup, Fine Gael contacted RTE about a viral video over the weekend. People for Profit look to keep young people from emigrating, and for the thousands of people voting for the first time, how do you do it? Fine Gael is defending contact between its party staff and RTE about a video of the Taoiseach speaking with a carer last Friday. The video of Simon Harris speaking with Charlotte Fallon went viral, with the Taoiseach since apologising for his approach to the interaction. It's emerged that Fine Gael figures contacted RTE to express concern about how the video would be covered. Public Expenditure Minister and candidate in Dublin, Pascal Donoghue, says these contacts occur outside of election campaigns as well.
So any contact that has happened between Fine Gael and any broadcaster and our state broadcaster, I believe has been appropriate. It's the kind of exchange that happens normally. My party and I have never threatened to sue any journalist. We've never threatened to review the impartiality of any journalist or any broadcaster.
People for Profit is promising to invest in nightlife, scrap student fees and cap rents if part of the next government. The party launched a manifesto today that focuses on the need to improve the lives of young people and prevent them from emigrating. It claims Ireland is currently no country for young people, but its policies would change that, it believes. Conor Reddy is a candidate for the party in Dublin North West. He says they'll address more than just the necessities.
Ireland is a laggard when you look at investment in culture. The European average is about 0.9% of GDP spent on arts and culture. We're far behind that. We need to get back to that standard. You look at the hollowing out of life in rural Ireland and regional towns and cities as well. Not attractive places to be young. You need to see some type of investment that'll make the place more vibrant and enticing to stay behind.
The current government is being accused of punishing drivers by AIM2. It's proposing to scrap tolls on state-owned motorways and bridges in the country. Its leader, Pádraig Tobin, says motorists shouldn't have to pay to use the M50 and Eastlink in Dublin.
We're looking first and foremost for the tolls that are in state ownership. So you have the likes of the Eastlink, you have the M50, and they actually take the majority of tolls paid in this country are actually paid by those two bridges. This is the busiest road in the country, the M50.
On Friday, thousands of people will be voting for the first ever time. And Eamon Torsney from the Today FM newsroom joins me now to run through what you may need to know going into the polling booth on Friday. Eamon, what do you think people should know?
Well, firstly, the actual type of voting system that we use is kind of different to other countries. So a lot of people, you might hear this expression, one person, one vote. Well, in Ireland, we have this PRSTV, that's proportional representation, single transferable vote. So don't get put off by the name. It basically means you're allowed to choose candidates in order of preference. That's really important, in order of preference. And so you start off with your first preference, number one, followed by number two, number three, who you'd like to see in order of your own preference elected.
One way of looking at it, I suppose, would be if there's 12 candidates, it's the possibility of 12 different votes.
That's right. You can mark it down 1 to 12, so long as you make it clear on the ballot paper what your preferences are, and you have to indicate a number one. You don't start at number two or number three. Make sure you vote number one and indicate a clear preference for your candidate. And it allows you as well to be tactical, so perhaps you might like another candidate that you'd like to see, you know, when say the person you get elected person you vote for gets elected and they're eliminated, and then the second preference can go to somebody that you like, and things might need a boost, if you like, on the next count. So that's kind of one way of thinking about it, kind of, you know, expressing your preference, you know, in order to the people that you like or are impressed by.
And I suppose for a lot of people who'd be going in for the first time, they'd get a long sheet of paper. It may be worthwhile thinking about it before you go into the ballot box.
Very much so, yeah, and I'm sure everybody's got the flyers already. Make sure you're familiar with your candidate's name. If you've identified somebody, make sure you're familiar with the name, because some people might have similar names or they might have similar party names as well. That's kind of creeping in a bit as well. Yeah. So make sure you're clear of the candidate's name, judging by that. And what the good news is, it's just a general election. So if you contrast this with what we had in the summer, where we had multiple ballot papers, and indeed, I think down another, you know, for the Limerick, they had an extra ballot paper, the mayoral election. So we had European and local. So we had sheets of papers. At least we only have one. And then, of course, the number of candidates in each constituency varies as well.
And they will have pictures there too.
pictures, yeah, and that's kind of a, you know, I remember when they were brought in, actually. So they really are helpful, and even they're in colour. So believe it or not, there was a time when it was just black and white names written down, you know, typed, and so now you have your branding and the names and the pictures all to help you make sure you pick the right candidate that you've identified before you go into that polling booth.
So you walk up to the polling station, more than likely a school or a community hall. You walk in the door, what happens?
Yeah, well, importantly, make sure you go to the right place, and where you'll find the actual polling station that you are supposed to go to, it'll be on the polling card that you get.
In the post.
Everybody should get. Now, you might say, well, I haven't got mine yet, or it mightn't arrive on time. Don't worry, you can go to checktheregister.ie, mm-hmm. And there you will see, put in your name, your postcode, you'll see that you're on the register. I'm assuming people going to vote are on the register. Let's take that for granted. And it will actually tell you there where your polling station is. And my little tip is, if you've moved to a new area, you're not familiar with it, go down the day before, or, you know, if you have a little bit of time, even the night before or whatever, so you know where you're going. Because you might be going before work and you might be in a rush, or you might be coming home from work and you might be running out of time. So remember, they're open from 7 in the morning till 10 in the evening.
Yeah.
So make sure you know where you're going first. That's really important. And then when you walk in the door, check the polling booth, check which table you go to. It's important to know that, because you'll have groups of roads and areas, local electoral areas.
There will be people there to help you, though.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's people there to help you. There's a returning officer, and then there's general people at the desks as well.
Yeah.
But there's also signs clearly marking the roads and the table that you go to in order to vote. And make sure you go to that table, and make sure you go listen to where the polling clerk tells you to vote, which ballot box to put it into, so that you go to the right ballot box. And so when you go up, you bring your ID. If you don't have your polling card, bring ID, photo ID, so there's all sorts of things, you know, your driver's license, passport, things like that, to prove who you are. You'll be handed the ballot paper. They will stamp it. That's important, because then it's a valid poll.
Yeah.
So you might have heard that. What was it, in American elections, the indents?
Yes.
But literally, these are little, it's a stamp that creates little dimples in your ballot paper to prove it's a valid poll. And that'll be important, because when the counters go to vote, they'll look for that.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. And if there is a question of a recount, or it's getting down to a tight vote, those votes would be pulled out, and your vote, unfortunately, wouldn't be counted.
It would be challenged. You know what I mean? That's not a valid vote. So make sure they stamp that. They usually do. They're so experienced, the polling clerks.
Yeah.
So that's the case there. So so you get your ballot paper, and that's when you have your pencil. You go over to the private booth, and you choose the candidates in order of preference. And as I said at the very start, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Remember, you don't have to use up all 12. You know, there might be people you don't like. So you just kind of go, there's three candidates I like in a particular order, and go 1, 2, 3. But make sure you show that preference. That's the key thing.
Yeah, really. Sinead. Now, there would be a lot of people who probably, again, voting for the first time, looking at the most recent global election, the US election, queues out the door and people setting aside hours of their day. That doesn't really happen in Ireland.
No, because the polling booths are open so long, from 7 in the morning until 10 in the evening. That's not the case, I think, in America. A lot of them just kind of close shortly after tea time over in America. So you have plenty of time. You've really no excuse not to pick a right time. And that's rarely, I don't think there is a case that would happen. And then, importantly then, when it comes to actually choosing your candidate as well, there are websites that can help you. Like there's which candidate.ie, so where they ask you a series of questions, and then you can type in, and they'll supply you with the candidate that answers the same questions similar to you in the same style, and that's a suggestion, but they're not directing you to vote for that person. And that's really important to know that.
And also, there is some candidates who didn't reply to like which candidate, so they're basically invalid on that poll
in that case. And you know something, there's nothing to beat talking to people you trust and respect.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're unsure, and there's people that you discuss life with, and talk to them. They might have a good idea and say, well, actually, this person's really good at a particular issue, or this person I like for a particular reason might have helped me, or from a national perspective. Remember, people vote for different reasons. They can vote for a local issue in your area, or they vote for that big national picture as well. So there's plenty. But I always say, everyone's talking about the election. Everyone's talking about it. So But make sure you pick people that you trust and respect. And that goes also with the sources online that you go with, be it a publication, be it, you know, a social media account or whatever, to try and get, you know, to make a judgment on who you should vote for in your area.
Yeah, and somebody you trust would have an idea what your political alignment would be already, so they might be able to direct you.
Exactly. That's really it. I mean, trust somebody that you know well, and they will direct you. Nobody's going to steer you in the wrong direction, you know, if you trust them and you respect them, you know. So that's a key issue there.
So when you get in, there's a few rules for the polling station as well, do's and don'ts.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, a couple of things. So there's a tendency now, because of social media, people like to, you know, take a picture of their ballot and then go, well, I shouldn't say that, actually. The people have done in the past, but you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to take pictures, you're not supposed to record anything in the polling station.
It's a secret ballot.
Absolutely.
And your vote is your vote, and you have the right to walk out of that polling station and say you voted for somebody else.
Yes, well, that's it, exactly, yeah. And so make sure you maintain that secrecy and respect everybody else's privacy as well. And then also, in terms of what you write on the paper, you know, if you write messages or whatever, that spoils the vote.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you see that at every election, and some people go in, some people actually do it deliberately as a protest vote.
Yeah.
I wouldn't encourage that. This is so important. We see what's happening around the world. You know, your vote is important no matter who you vote for. It is great that we have the opportunity to choose our own government in this country, and we do it peacefully. Mm-hmm. And there's usually a nice, peaceful handover of power every year. And, you know, it's important that that's observed and that we do that. So there are some of the key rules, really. You know, don't spoil your ballot paper. And also, you should notice as well, you shouldn't be approached going in to a polling station by canvassers or anything. New rules are in place now. That means that you can't even have, you know, posters, you know, close to the polling station or on the polling station, and you shouldn't be canvassed by somebody trying to persuade you as you walk in that door, because you, but that's strictly police now. At the end of the day, there are people there. But it goes to show you how times have changed, that in the past there was the case where you'd have posters and everything around the polling stations, but that's not the case now. So it's a very exciting day, and people should really be delighted that they have the vote and go out there and exercise it.
And when are we going to start finding out some results?
Well, that's good. There'll be an exit poll on Friday night, and they're usually pretty accurate. You know, they'll give us a good snapshot of what the overall picture around the country
will be
like, because of course a lot of the you know, a lot of the actual final results won't come through possibly for a number of days. We'll have a good indication, I think, by Saturday evening, early evening, what the direction is, because we'd have tallies on Saturday morning. So in other words, they kind of usually, that's basically just what are called tally men, who watch the paper, the ballot papers being unfolded, and they take, just with their eyes, to take a note of who gets the first preference, and they do it really well, and the parties cooperate, and they give you a good indication of who's in the lead in each constituency. That'll give us a good flavour, and then people will interpret where the transfers are likely to go. So I think, you know, you'll have the good tallies on at lunchtime, and then by the counts come in, we should know what the general outcome will be by Saturday evening.
Okay, and then we get into the fun stuff of government formation talks. Eamon Torsney from the Today FM newsroom, thank you for that. Now, earlier, the last word continues its leaders interviews, this time the Green Party leader Roderick O'Gorman. Yesterday there was a poll released which showed that UCD researchers looked at manifestos, and in particular their climate pledges. This is how Roderick O'Gorman responded to it, as the Green Party were in third place behind the Labour Party and the Social Democrats.
So we've committed to a €10 billion investment in public transport, putting in place those big projects like the DART projects that have recently been granted planning permission, like Metrolink, Cork and Galway-Lewis, Metropolitan Rail in Limerick and Waterford, but also local link services, continuing the work Eamon Ryan did in spreading out local link services all over the country, linking up towns and villages, linking up communities. That is the commitment that our manifesto shows.
And it's in third place according to Friends of the Earth.
We have shown that we can deliver on these changes. When we went into government, we had to take the Climate Act that Fine Gael and Labour had implemented in 2015, and we had to replace it because it was a toothless document. And in fairness, even Leo Varadkar recently acknowledged that we were right to say we needed a Climate Act with legally binding targets. Those targets apply now, and we're starting to meet those targets because of the work the Green Party has done.
Well, does that mean, though, that those targets would suggest that it doesn't matter whether you're in the next government or not, because the government is legally bound to the reduction of emissions, and this will be done by whoever's in power, whether the Greens are part of the government or not.
No, it doesn't, because you put in place the legally binding targets, but then you have to put in place the policy and the funding to actually get you there. And that's what we've done over these 4.5 years.
You can listen to that full interview on podcast and tune into The Last Word for its general election coverage on Today FM every day from 4:30. Now, tonight on RTE is the final leaders' debate. It will feature the three people who could be Taoiseach: Fianna Fáil's Micheál Martin, Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald and Fine Gael's Simon Harris. Tomorrow, like last week, we'll look back at how everyone fares in what could be one of the most consequential and influential debates in recent Irish electoral history. That's it for day 19. Three seeps to go.
The last word on the general election 2024. Today FM.